so they were. She was looking out her window in this dream into the front yard or the backyard, whichever, and she sees these two devils dancing, right? And they're moving very fast, even though they have iron shackles on their feet. And as soon as they notice that she's looking at them, they run away terrified. They're terrified of this 4 or 5 year old child. And for all of us, I'll come back to that in a second, but if we live our faith and we speak out about our faith as we go out and are sent out into the world, into the wolves, as it were, sometimes, actually, you'll find a lot of times that people respond in a positive way with openness. In my own experience of wearing clerics the last 4 years, there's a lot of very worldly people, especially the spiritual but not religious people, are often the younger generation of today, right? And there's this openness that they're like, that's so awesome that you have those strong convictions, you know, that's really awesome for you. You know, I'm still kind of searching to find what really feels like my true self, you know, what's right for me. And but there's a grudging admiration, or sometimes a more open admiration, because as Catholics, we know who we are, right? We're the children of God the Father, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. And so that assurance is something that's admirable. But coming back to the story of Saint Therese, there is always a challenge that we present to the world by living our faith. And one thing that the devil cannot abide, the world cannot abide, is innocence. Saint Therese, as that young child, the devil was terrified of her, or his demons were, right? And they cannot destroy innocence directly, so they rely on human agents, because the innocence is protected by the angels, right? And by God himself, our Father. So Jesus says elsewhere, the millstone offense, you know, that it's a great task to protect innocence in our children from the hatred of the world, the wolves. But these lambs that Jesus sent out, these 72, surely they were not so innocent as small children, especially not having met Christ until they were adults. But what makes them so have such power, perhaps, is that they were living on God's providence. And so that's a characteristic of innocence, perhaps, is there's just that intrinsic trust in God, that these 72, they didn't carry any money with them, no sandals, no sack. They were totally reliant on God's providence to find a house for them to stay in, to find people for them to take care of them. And they were also carrying with them the message of fulfillment, carrying the message of the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel, the good news that Jesus had proclaimed himself at his own ministry. That the time of fulfillment is at hand, hearkening back to a Jubilee year. And we hear about that in the first reading, kind of the ultimate Jubilee year when all things will be restored for Jerusalem, and she will enjoy the fullness of prosperity and peace. And Paul, in the second reading, talks about the new creation. Well, Jesus proclaimed this year acceptable to the Lord from Isaiah in the synagogue in his opening sermon. Again, the kingdom of God is at hand. And I myself have found a lot of joy and hope in being ordained in this Jubilee year of hope. This Jubilee year, which meant for the people of Jesus' time that debts were forgiven, slaves were freed. Those who had to sell their land or rent it out because of debts had their land returned to them, their ancestral heritage. It was a time of restoration, just as Jesus sends them out to free people from the slavery to the devil, and also free people from from sickness, to heal the sick, that this is the time of fulfillment when prayers are answered, when innocence is restored. But an important point is that the lambs that Jesus sends out, they can't become wolves. They can't think that they're beating the wolves at their own game, right? That they rejoice because the demons are subject to them. But Jesus says, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Again, that they are to be totally reliant on God's providence and remain reliant on his providence. Because the second they think that they have outsmarted or outfought those against them and the forces against them, then they lose the grace that Jesus sends them out with. And part of that, keeping that reliance on providence is simplicity, which could be a homily for another day. But God provides his spirit with them. He, again, for all the 72. And just as he has provided his spirit for all of you, the number 72 recalls the 72 or the 70 elders in the book of Exodus. There's two left in the camp, and you may recall that God sent his spirit upon them, and there was the two left in the camp, and they all prophesied. And Moses said in response, would that God's spirit might come upon all. Would that all God's people would prophesy. Well, God's spirit has been sent upon all of you now with the Jubilee year, the salvation announced by Christ. In baptism, in confirmation, perhaps in matrimony, God's spirit has been sent out upon you. And so that time has been fulfilled when God's spirit has been sent upon all his people, and we want to extend that to even more. I offered Mass for all of you at Pentecost, as Father Borkenhagen offers a Mass for the people of the parish every Sunday as the pastor. And so that was one of the better Masses that I had when I had my month off. But I pray for a continuing outpouring of God's Spirit on all of us as I begin my time here. May the graces of God's Holy Spirit be renewed in your souls, families, and this community, to restore what was lost and to harvest the graces of prayers made for many years in this Jubilee year of hope.